I should be joined live on the phone now by Richard Thomas, who is the Irish Freemasons Young Musician of the Year. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. First of all, Richard, can you tell us what instrument you play? Or are you multi-instrumental?
No, I'm boring. It's just the one. I'm a violinist.
Yeah. Wow. You're a violinist. When did you start playing?
You know, I was thinking about this the other day. It was either 4 or 5. I can't remember exactly. And because my entire family are musicians, so dad's a violinist, mum's a flautist, and my grandmother's a pianist, and my brother's a violinist. It goes on and on. And I remember waking up one morning and finding this enormous box in the middle of the living room. I remember being kind of like bigger than me, and going inside and opening it up and kind of diving in through all the styrofoam. And then the bottom was a tiny little violin. So that was the beginnings of it.
It's an instrument that people might think, well, up until relatively recently, would have been maybe perhaps a little bit old fashioned. But with people like Lindsay Stirling and Amadeo Violin, all of a sudden, everybody wants to play the violin. I know my niece is learning it at school and she's loving it. Has there been a violin revival?
Yeah, I guess you could say that. There's been definitely a renewed interest with, you know, the likes of Nigel Kennedy and Andre Rieu and all those kind of things. They've sort of brought a new lease of life to it.
I remember Nigel Kennedy, Aston Villa fan, if my memory serves me correctly. And I won't be talking about football this morning. I'm Manchester United, so that's a no-go. Can you tell us about the awards, Richard?
Yeah.
Was there any criteria involved?
Not particularly. There's only just the one, and you have to be studying in Ireland.
Okay.
So they have about 5 or 6 kind of universities that they approach. Like I was the Royal Irish Academy of Music's representative. There's also DIT in Dublin, DIT in Dundalk, the Cork School of Music. There's the University of Limerick, and then there's Queen's University of Belfast. So all of these have a music course on them, and each college normally kind of gives about four students to represent them.
Just on the violin itself, it's a stringed instrument. If you master the violin, does it make it easier for you to master another stringed instrument?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I mean, the violin, the viola are very similar. It's pretty much the same technique. The viola being slightly bigger. I mean, I haven't tried mastering the cello, but I mean, I'm sure the same skills can apply.
How many people were you up against?
When I was there, I think there was about 16 in the semi-final, and then of course four going into the final round. But then before that, so there's the preliminary round, which is done within the colleges. So each college, as I said, selects about four or five students, and from that round in the academy, there was about 20 or so in that as well.
I had my first ever go on the violin. There's probably a technical word for it, but I just call it go because I don't know what the technical word happens to be. About a year ago, and it looks relatively straightforward to play it, but it's anything but. Am I right?
There's a knack, let's say.
Yeah, oh, there is, yeah, definitely, which I don't have.
with practice, anything is possible.
How often do you practice?
Every day, 4 or 5 hours a day. It has to be.
And what happens if you miss a day or miss a couple of days or if you go away on holiday?
Holidays are necessary every now and again. I try to keep it as consistent as possible.
And
I think it was Rostropovich, the famous cellist, said, if I miss practice for one day, I notice. If I miss practice for 2 days, my friends notice. If I miss practice for 3 days, everybody notices. So it's that sort of a mentality, unfortunately.
Now, as far as work for violinists is concerned, Richard, is there work available in Ireland, or is it an instrument that you might have to travel with?
Well, I mean, I think that's the same language everywhere you go. It's just off the page. But thankfully in Ireland, yes, we have, of course, we've got the concert orchestra and the symphony orchestra. And then there's things like the Irish Chamber Orchestra and up north, the Ulster Orchestra. So those are the kind of the main ones. And then even within that, there's things like the National String Quartet Foundation that kind of supply you with quartets, concerts, and that sort of stuff. So there's a lot of performance opportunities in Ireland, which is fantastic.
Can you tell us, just going back to the awards, Richard, what did you have to do to win it?
As I said, there was three rounds. So the first round, I was in the academy and I kind of just had to play, I think it was just two pieces. And from that, then they select their four students. And then you go into the semi-final round, which you're up against maybe about between 16 and 20 students. And there you have to perform a 20-minute program. And then from that, they select four people to go into the final round, where you have to play a half-an-hour program that's broadcast on Lyric FM.
Okay. Just on the work that you've done so far, am I right in saying that you've been involved in orchestras as well? You've played with orchestras, relatively large, well-known orchestras too.
Well, since I was a child, really, that I started out in the Dublin Youth Orchestra. I think I did nearly about 10 years in their various orchestras, and then there was the National Youth Orchestra, which I co-led for a year. I was the leader of the Royal Irish Academy of Music orchestras. I played with the Ulster Orchestra, the Symphony Orchestra, the Concert Orchestra. Orchestral playing is a big part of my life.
Yeah. Are we an orchestrated nation, Richard? You don't hear so much about classical music. I know there's Lyric FM, and a lot of people do listen to it and that kind of stuff. But when you think of Ireland, you think of Irish traditional music, and of course there's a huge place for a violin in that. Do we have a classical background, or would you have to go maybe to places like Germany or to Austria to see that?
Classical music, you mean?
To get a greater feel of it, if you like, for it to be more welcoming.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting question, because I mean, historically we've had some very famous classical musicians, the likes of John Field, for example, in the 1800s, mm-hmm. who was the original founder of Austrian piano music. We've had people like Esposito and Fleischmann and all these really quite famous composers. And I think it's something that the orchestras in Ireland are trying to do at the moment, to make it seem more accessible. So they have things like, I don't know if you've heard of the Jenny Green concerts with the Concert Orchestra, for example.
I have, yeah.
Where they're taking the orchestra out of the more formal setting of the concert hall and putting them in something like Electric Picnic, and showing that actually it's not this kind of, the elitist thing that only people in black tie can go and see. In fact, it is something for everybody. And I think the important thing to remember is that classical music 200 years ago was the pop music of that era.
Hmm.
So it was never really that kind of snobby thing that it sort of became for a while.
Hmm. I mentioned Amadea Violin earlier on. I mean, her YouTube site gets millions of hits. And the great thing about what she does is that she'll take songs like Ed Sheeran's Shape of You and other contemporary pieces of music, and she'll put her own spin on it. So people already know the tune, if you like, and does things with it. But it kind of makes it very relevant to young people who might find maybe classical music a bit like stiffy. And I think that's a fantastic way of opening up a new, if you like, market to it. Would that be right?
Well, that's it, exactly. And I mean, even if a child is looking at that on YouTube, on the results or the up next thing on the side, they might find something else that they like, and it is a doorway into genre maybe they weren't so familiar with.
How difficult is it, Richard, for a young musician like yourself to break through here?
Good question. Yeah, is
that the $64,000 question?
Yeah, I mean. Mm. I mean, obviously a lot of preparation, a lot of practice. The sad thing is there's 100 other violinists like me in Ireland, and I just happen to be the one that won on the day.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's a bit of luck. It's a bit of, on the day, just having just slightly upper hand. It's a lot of factors, really, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, if people want to see you at work, are there any clips on YouTube or other social media outlets where people can see you play?
Yeah, well, I mean, I have a Facebook page, Richard Thomas Violin, which you can check out there. I kind of keep updating all the concerts I have. Or if you want to see me at a concert, I'm playing in Belfast at the Royal Academic Institution next Saturday.
Wow.
That's Saturday the 6th of October, so I'm playing a Mozart concerto. And then the following week, I'm playing in the final of the Freemason competition again, just as a kind of a cameo role. But I mean, if they want to hear live music, by all means, turn up to the semi-final on the 10th or the 11th of October. It's on the Freemason website. And there, I mean, if you're not a big fan of classical music, it's something that would be really, really beneficial to go and see, I think, because there's so many different performers. So if you don't like one thing, you're pretty much guaranteed to like something else.
As far as training is concerned, is there enough being done within the educational system here in Ireland to help and support young musicians like yourself, particularly violinists? We've always picked up guitars and we like playing pianos and that kind of thing. But violin has always been, if you like, a fringe instrument. So is it harder for you to get acceptance within the educational system?
I think it's something that is improving. It's, I mean, you have things like the violin projects now that you see, in, for example, in the one in Crumlin and St. Agnes's School there, and it is becoming more and more kind of popular, I guess. But I mean, in terms of recognition, I think, I mean, the Arts Council, they have plenty of various awards that they have given me over the years, which is fantastic. County Council is the same. So, I mean, there is a support there, and I definitely think it's something that's growing.
Have you any advice for young people, Richard, who are picking up or thinking of picking up an instrument for the first time, and they might be a bit scared? They might be aware of the vocational aspect to it. In other words, you've got to give up a sizable chunk of your day if you want to make a career out of it. What advice would you give them this morning?
Well, I think the first thing is to stick at it. I mean, there is this kind of misconception that, you know, people hear the violin on the radio and fell in love with it and, you know, then practiced for 26 hours of the day or 24 hours of the day after. That really wasn't the case with me anyway. Maybe it is with some other people. I mean, growing up, it really wasn't something I enjoyed doing.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, if it's a sunny day, you want to go outside, you want to play, or if it's a rainy day, you want to play your PlayStation or Xbox or whatever. So for quite a few years, it was very much my parents forcing me to practice and me sort of retaliating against it. And that's completely normal, I think. It's no different than not wanting to do your homework. And then after a while, you get to this stage, you know, maybe about 2 or 3 years in, where you're starting to get a grasp of what it is you're trying to do with this instrument, and everything could become slightly easier, any more enjoyable. So if a child is starting now, definitely try and stick at it, and I'd say to the parent, definitely try and force them to stick at it. And the other important thing, I think, is to get involved in groups. So for example, in the Dublin area, there's the Dublin Youth Orchestra, which is a fantastic place where, you know, kids can come together and play music together. And it makes it more of a social aspect as well, which makes it more enjoyable wanting to practice.
If you live down the country, Richard, does that make a difference? If you pick up a violin, does that mean at some point you're going to have to travel to maybe Dublin or Belfast or one of the bigger cities?
I mean, yes and no. For example, I'm from Kildare myself, and for, 10, 12 years, my mother used to drive myself and my brother to Dublin once a week through rush hour traffic to get an hour and a half's worth of violin lessons. I mean, there is a certain amount of commitment if you're not living inside the city, because obviously that's where most of the teachers are. That being said, there are, of course, very good teachers within the country as well, and it's just knowing where to go, really.
You mentioned a few moments ago you're playing in Belfast this weekend. Yeah. Can you remind people again in case they want to pop along and see you?
Of course. So that's it's October the 6th. The concert is 7:45. In the Royal Belfast Academic Institution, and you can buy tickets at www.studiosymphonyorchestra or studiosymphony.org.uk.
And anything else coming up later on in the year that you can tell us about?
So, like I said, there's the following week, there's a performance at the final of the Freemason competition, and then sometime later, possibly November or December, January time, I'm going to be giving a recital in the National Concert Hall.
What does this award mean to you, Richard?
I mean, it's vital, really. From the actual final itself, you know, that's broadcast on radio, which is kind of, you know, every violinist's dream to have their performances played live on radio. And then I got, for example, this concert I have on Saturday, that part of my prize, I played with the Symphony Orchestra. I got to play two pieces with them, which was broadcast live on radio and over the internet. I have the use of this absolutely gorgeous violin that's sitting behind me at the moment. It's a 1732 Nicholas Galliano, which was made in Naples. It's an absolutely beautiful instrument, which I sadly have to hand back in about 2 months' time. But I mean, it's opened a lot of doors, and it's made, as you were saying earlier, made a difficult career slightly easier. And that is giving me opportunities that maybe other people haven't had.
Yeah, I mean, there is another name that's popped into my head. Richard Mendoza is somebody else who, he's a young lad who's gone on YouTube and again, you know, picks up pieces of current music and does remarkable things with it, again, like Amadea violin. And the other thing as well is that obviously they're making a few bob, and the violin now looks more like an electric guitar with violin strings on it, if that makes sense, because the shape has changed and they've got lasers and they've got all of that kind of stuff, and kids love that kind of thing. And I think it's great that the instrument is still alive and well and kicking, and it's down to people like yourself, and well done. You mentioned social media. How important has Facebook been to you?
I mean, Facebook is a fantastic outlet for just letting people know what it is I'm doing at the moment. So I generally kind of just, you know, write a post once a week or once every second week, just kind of saying, you know, I'm playing with this orchestra this week, or I have this concert coming up. And it's a great way of just kind of getting more people involved in what it is I'm doing and what other people are doing as well.
Well, Richard, thanks a million for taking time out of your busy schedule this morning to talk to us. I know you've probably got another 5 hours of practice ahead of you.
And it's
an instrument. One of my heroes growing up was a guy called Billy Currey in Ultravox, and he was the guy who did the violin solo on Vienna, which is the best number one that ever was. And but it is great. I mean, I kind of grew up with an affinity for the sound, but not being able to play it, if you get my drift. But it's great that this instrument, this wonderful sound, is still alive and well and kicking. And well done again on the award, Richard. And maybe one day you'll bring your violin in to the studio here and play us a few tunes. Look forward to it.
Pleasure.
We definitely must arrange something. We must. Richard, thanks a million for talking to us here on Lifeline.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.